new report is published ahead of a key UN climate talk has warned that the world is falling drastically behind in the race to avert climate disaster, with a five-year period ending in 2019, the hottest on record. The new report revealed the global temperatures between 2015 and 2019 were the hottest on record, and it noted carbon emissions in the same period had risen by 20%. The data compiled by the World Meteorological Organization warns that carbon-cutting efforts have to be intensified immediately, and comes ahead of a major UN climate summit in New York, which is starting this week. The ARC's Center of Excellence for Climate Extremes, Professor Andy Pittman, says that the report is bad news and Western countries, he said, need to take action.
So I think that's right. And I don't think any of these things are a surprise to the people who work within the area. The depths of emissions reductions being implemented worldwide are absolutely not sufficient to avoid 2 degrees, let alone 1.5 degrees. And I think we're basically bedding in minimum of 2 degrees, and I think the current trajectory is upwards of 3 degrees in the global average. And you've got to understand that the global average is a global average. It's like the global GDP. The global GDP doesn't translate into what each individual country experiences, same as global warming. A 3 degree rise in the global mean isn't sort of the take-home number in terms of what happens for Australia.
So that might be 6 degrees warmer in summer in Bourke.
Oh, yeah.
Or elsewhere around New South Wales.
Well, we're already seeing a rapid increase in extreme temperatures in summer in Australia. So 6 degrees sounds like a ridiculously high number, but it's being experienced. We're seeing summer temperatures way above what I think the climate science community predicted 10 or 20 years ago. I think it's absolutely true, in fact, that the climate science community has underestimated the rate of change, particularly in the context of extremes. So the climate is warming faster than we thought it would, particularly as expressed as summer temperatures and so on.
And this report from the World Meteorological Organization that is reporting to the UN is saying drastic action needs to be taken now, today. What about Australia? Are we doing enough here, or what more should we be doing from your view as a scientist?
Well, the first thing is that messaging from the World Meteorological Organization is the same messaging as has been going out in effect for 25 years. There's no new news here. The climate scientists have been absolutely consistent in the narrative around the requirement for very, very deep and very cuts in emissions. We were saying that in 1990, and instead of deeply cutting emissions from 1990, we rapidly increased them. So now, of course, the depths of the reductions needed are much higher than they would have been if we had acted when the science was first clear on the need. In terms of Australia, Australia is in a basket of many countries, many, many countries that have the capability to rapidly transform their economies away from fossil fuels has failed to do so, and it's deeply disappointing. And as a climate scientist, I don't know how many more ways and how much more clearly we can communicate the need to dramatically cut emissions.
And the implications for our climate and for our farmers and for New South Wales, we're already seeing a drought that's lasted the 3 years. More of the same is likely?
So the farmers, and I've spoken about this before, are very much the canaries in the coal mine. They are, I think, a very vulnerable industry for climate change. They understand climate extraordinarily well, many of them, and they have a deeper understanding, far deeper understanding of climate than most of our policymakers do. But it is unfortunate that they are dependent on the climate, and therefore they're vulnerable to climate change. And yes, they are going to see more of the same. That puts them in an invidious position. The climate scientists have been speaking of this for decades, and I don't know what else I can say, but you know, the climate science community has worked with the farming sector for years because we know that they are the most vulnerable sector in the Australian economy to climate change.
So should we be going, I mean, would it be your view we should be aiming for zero emissions earlier than 2030?
I don't think it's feasible. Zero emissions, no one knows actually how to do that. Zero emissions is a phenomenal transformation in the economy. And there are certain things you can't stop emitting in terms of greenhouse gases. Aviation, for instance, it's difficult to see aviation working on wind. So there are sectors of the economy that can't go to global emission, zero emissions. So that means every single sector that can needs to do the heavy lifting really quick to leave that little bit of a ceiling, little gap between you and the ceiling for those sectors that can't go to zero emissions. But yes, Australia can't get to zero emissions by 2030, but it can absolutely make giant strides in that direction. And like many Western economies, they really need to do so.
And it's your view that we're not doing enough at the moment? So the policies we have in place are not doing enough at the moment?
Virtually none of the Western economies are doing enough. The Paris Agreement will require ramping up of reductions in emissions. It's part of the agreement that those cuts get ramped up over time. It's almost irrelevant whether Australia will or will not make its existing Paris commitments, because those Paris commitments will have to become substantially tighter really quickly. And ideally what you do is overshoot those Paris agreements, because you're transforming your economy more rapidly than other countries, because that gives you an advantage in the marketplace. Australia is lagging, therefore is disadvantaging itself in the marketplace. Therefore, as the emission reductions ramp up, we'll be ill-prepared to compete with some of our international partners.
That's Professor Andy Pittman from the ARC Centre of Excellence of Climate Extremes.